The reading of God's word from the book of Job, the 17th chapter, the 15th verse. Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. You may remember the story in Greek mythology of Pandora. Pandora and her famous box. The box was given to Pandora and her betrothed Epimetheus as a gift, a box that was intended only to be seen and enjoyed but never opened. Imagine being given a gift that you could only look at and never open. Well, as the story puts it, Pandora, though beautiful as she was even more of a curious creature. Her curiosity got the best of her, as it would, no doubt, any of us. She opened the box that was never meant to be opened. And out of the box came all manner of insects, stinging the couple, Pandora and Epimetheus, with stubbornness and malice and hatred and envy. And suddenly, this once happy couple now had begun arguing with one another. And in the midst of their quarreling, there was another sound, a final sound that came from the box. As out of the box emerged a butterfly, which according to the story was the butterfly of hope. When all else has come upon us, the one thing that can sustain us, the one thing that can soothe our pain is the gift of hope. We know that not only from Greek myths. We know that assurance even more powerfully from God's word throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. There is one story of hope after another. Perhaps the greatest story is what is found somewhere in the middle of Scripture in the book of Job, where we are told the story of that righteous man, that blameless man whose life came apart at the seams, and for whom at one point in life there appeared to be no hope. This morning I've read for you a passage of Scripture from the book of Job, in that section of Job where Job is visited by his three friends, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, who have approached Job to help him wrap his mind around why his world has come apart at the seams. This section deals with the counsel of Eliphaz, who is considered by students of the Old Testament to have been, no doubt, the eldest in the group, the tenderest of Job's three friends. And yet, though tender, Eliphaz is nonetheless traditional in his theology. God blesses righteous people. God punishes and curses sinners. Job, because of this punishment, this curse that you are under, surely there is something that you have done. Confess it now, Job, lest you live without hope. And when Eliphaz raises that question, it presses a button in Job's soul. And he begins to ponder the possibilities of hope. Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? On the surface, it seems Job's question to be, in fact, question of resignation and surrender, a hopeless question. Do I have any hope? But when you look at the larger context, Job actually is making a bold statement of faith. If in this life I only had something to place my hopes on, it wouldn't be enough. But surely, even in the midst of my adversity, God sees, God is in control, God is at work. I will place my trust in God. The story of Job teaches us the difference between a Bible-based hope and the hope about which the world speaks. Oh, you hear a lot about hope. A lot of language bandied about hope this time of year. I hope that the kids will come home for Christmas. I hope that on Christmas morning there will be under the Christmas tree exactly what I want. We equate in this world hope with wishful thinking. But when you look at how the Scripture speaks about hope, it is something much deeper. Something that we embrace, that is based in a work that only God can do, not in a work that we do. A hope that looks harsh reality in the eye and says, you will not have the last word. God will have the last word. And I am banking every ounce of my life and my future on the goodness of God to make a way. Even when a way seems impossible, this morning we have lit this candle of hope as a reminder of how when there didn't seem to be a way possible for God to do a work of redemption, God intruded into this otherwise hopeless world, this world that is locked into wishful thinking. God intruded in the Bethlehem baby to show how God is able to bring hope out of despair and joy out of sorrow and even death out of life, to call us to look at our souls and to see how prepared we are for God's advent into this world to make for us a future even in the face of what seems to us in the present to be a relatively hopeless future this morning. Are you willing to place your trust in a God who has shown His faithfulness on so many occasions and to confess that your tomorrow cannot be based on anything that you can make happen, but something that God makes happen, makes to happen for you and extends it to you as a gift grounded in His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last couple of years, now that we're into sending Christmas cards, there is a Christmas card you may have seen. It's actually gone viral. It's a very simple card. It's a crayon and pencil sketch that was done by a Roman Catholic sister in the Mississippi Abbey in Dubuque, Iowa. Her name is Grace Davenport. This is one of the few times I wish we had a screen in the sanctuary so I could show you this Christmas card. This crayon and pencil drawing, words cannot do it justice. In fact, if you have a cell phone, I can't believe I'm saying it, go to Google Images right now and pull it up. Sister Grace Davenport, crayon and sketch drawing. Who needs a screen in the sanctuary when we got cell phones? Maybe there is hope. For those of you who didn't bring your cell phones to worship, God bless you. Let me do my best to describe the drawing. It's a drawing of the Virgin Mary on one side, her pregnant belly swollen with the infant Jesus. And on the other side is Eve. And Eve, her countenance is dejected, hopeless, nothing to live for because of the wrong choices that she has made. And pregnant Mary is reaching out with her hands to cup the face of dejected Eve. Meanwhile, Eve places her hands on the swollen belly of pregnant Mary. A powerful picture of how when people make wrong choices, sinful choices, choices that threaten to separate them from God, choices that point to a future that is hopeless, God intervenes, God intrudes in the most miraculous of ways to provide hope where hope does not seem possible. Our wrong choices, our sins will not have the last word. Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, will have the last word. So where then is our hope? Who sees any hope for us? Well, this morning we have proclaimed it. God sees. And God knows. And God is the source of our hope. God holds tomorrow. He holds it in Jesus. And when we place our faith in Jesus, God will hold us and our tomorrows as well. Pray tell, what more hope could you possibly need? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Far too often it seems as if we have found ourselves in situations, most of which we have brought upon ourselves, where there does not seem a way forward. And yet we dare to confess that in those times you do your best work. We know that because of the baby that was born to us and laid in a box, which when you opened it, made hope spring eternal. Come again, Christ Jesus. Come again to our hearts even now, where our lives, our souls might overflow with eternal hope. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.